Take four. Welcome back to the Coach's Corner Podcast. It's Brian and Coach Mo. We're having some audio issues because I adjusted our podcasting setup. And so we're going to work through it and we're going to make it work. Speaking of making it work, we need to talk about this season in the Metro regarding tournaments and whatnot, because that's the mode we've been in. We've been trying to make it work. And so we need to have an honest conversation about some of the things that have happened this season and in past seasons. We're not throwing anybody under the bus. It's not to disparage anybody, but we do feel like we need to have an honest conversation about the state of basketball, especially in tournament play locally. And so that's what we're going to discuss. We're always going to fight for our kids, and that's the bottom line. So, Coach Mo, what can they expect this episode?
Well, they expect a lot of truth. It's very concerning, some of the things we're going to talk about, and it should move you a little bit in some type of way. And it's, you know, we just want to put it out there and let you know that things are going on, and we hope things can get better for our players. Their goal is to go out and play the best game they can and have a fair shot. And not to have to deal with all the extra distractions at games. And we're just going to break down a couple of things we've seen this season.
So that's what we got and more on today's episode of the Coach's Corner. Thanks for tuning back in, y'all. We'll get you guys after the intro. Peace. Thanks for tuning back in, y'all. So today's episode, we're going to get into the meat of today's episode in a moment. We're going to talk about some programming things first, especially as we're heading towards the end of the season. We want to be able to transition our players to really level up in the offseason. We talked about that last episode. If you haven't heard it, go back and look for episode. It's called Leveling Up in the Offseason. You know, we give a lot of tips and some ways for players in the offseason, whether they're playing basketball exclusively or playing multiple sports. We give tips for both sides of the fence. But realistically, the bottom line is you got to keep moving. The activity level has to stay up. Now, you can take some time off, but make sure that you're working with coaches, all your coaches, even if you're playing other sports, you're working with those coaches as well to make sure you're getting adequate rest and ability to step away and recharge. But activity level still has to be up. And so you go back and listen to the episode. We're not going to relitigate everything. We're heading into the end of the season and players are going to have to start making decisions. Coach Mo, what are some of the decisions that players and parents are going to have to make in terms of what they want to do?
And the commitment is going to have to be, again, you hit it in the head. It's no really off time in a sense. Like, you might give yourself a week after transitioning to kind of just rest your body and stuff. But and now it's going to have to jump into, am I going to go to train? Am I going to try out for select team? Those tryouts are coming up pretty quick for all over. And, you know, setting your goals and seeing what your next level is for those kids to get started.
So we have programs, multiple programs. We're doing our face-to-face in-person services, our one-on-one training, and we also have our online training. These are all options for you to stay on top of your game and keep things pushing. You know, and we'll talk about what the differences are between the programs. And basically, our operating nights are what?
We have Sundays is our competitive open gym. That's for our high school, college players, and our up and coming eighth graders or your select eighth graders. Then that's by invite only. So if you are a coach or a player that like to get involved in that and to test your skills, contact us and we'll get you involved in that. Monday nights is our skill training. And so we have all ages skill training. We have certain hours set aside for different things. We're going ball handling, defense, passing, up-tempo competitive, play team stuff. It's very, very fun, very informative there. We also have Wednesdays, our traditional basketball academy. We work a little bit more on team stuff, movement with the ball, some cardio things as well, It's as our traditional one, and we may be adding a surprise. So stand by for that.
Yeah, we're in the process of negotiating a space for our next night, and this might be a more elite kind of evening just because of the venue or whatnot. But that's what we're working on, and these are different programs that are available. All the price points and all the information is listed on the website. We also have our one-on-one we have our one-on-one training too, which if you're really trying to move up, like we're talking like JV to varsity in the off season, the one-on-one training is really kind of focused for that. It's a premium service, but you get Coach Mo one-on-one, and this is the same kind of training that he's delivered to college-bound players and other players that were looking to transition from JV to varsity or freshman to varsity, or making the leap from eighth grade to making a high school team. And so this is really a focused training, but it is a premium service. But we also have our online training for people that, you know, if you have things where you really can't attend a live session, this has a lot of the drills and a lot of the backbone of stuff that Coach Mo uses to help get high level outcomes. And the online training, I'll be honest with you, we underpriced it, is what I'm saying. It's way underpriced for the level of quality and service that you're getting with it, because we're talking about drills from college coaches, Olympic coaches, led by professionals. You might see some NBA players running through these drills in the videos. It also has some strength training. There's a lot of different content in here. It's a subscription service. It's a partnership that we have with Max One. And we are really proud to be able to utilize their platform and deliver it to our players. So it's not the same as going up and having going up to basketball academy or going up to our competitive nights on Sundays. But if you can't make it, it's the next best option, and it gives you focused training. You know, we don't want any of that BS with this 10,000 hours of bad dribbling. Nobody wants that. That doesn't make anybody better. And so this gives you they walk you through the form. They kind of really explain the correct version of it looks like, and you can replay it and run through it as many times as you need to in order to get it right. So that's another service we have out there. But regardless of what service and what you do, and even if it's not with us, you got to keep active and you got to seek the help in the off season is what we're saying. Seek the help.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically it's go time. It's go time. This week, I've got contact with a couple of kids. I know a lot of reserve teams are done. A lot of freshman teams. This is in our area. I can't speak for other areas, but I'm pretty sure it's similar. And it's immediately go time. We talked about this last episode. Talked about it before. If you're competitive or you're trying out for select teams or you want to keep going, there's really no off time. It's just time to go.
Right. And every day you take off is a day that the person that you're competing against is grinding. So figure out, you know, plan it, but make sure that when you work, you're working to advance. So that's what we have about our programming. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls, and then we're going to jump into our main topic. Back again. So we're going to jump into the meat of what our show is about. We need to have an honest conversation. First things first, we're going to jump into the issues that we've been seeing as a program with fans and fan participation. We see on the news all the time about, you know, out of control baseball parents or whatnot, but those parents have basketball players too. And we've been seeing on the news about very poor fan behavior. And these aren't isolated events. They've been happening, you know, since Mo and I were in high school around here, but in the age of social media, it almost seems like it's gotten amplified a little bit. And so we do need to have a conversation about fans, but we also need to have a conversation about, you know, and we're going to piss somebody off, but I don't care. We're going to fire a shot across the brow of, you know, some of, and it's not, we've had very good refs, but there are some refs out there that are, I don't know what they're in the game for, to be honest with you, because it doesn't seem to be helping officiate basketball games for kids and helping those kids grow. And so we're going to get into that too. With the fans, we've talked about it. We talked about, you know, from a fan standpoint, and we've talked about it from a high school level of stop coaching, trying to coach your kid from the sidelines. But we do need to have honest conversation at the tournament level, because our kids aren't high. A lot of our kids, our teams that compete aren't high school yet. But we do need to have a conversation about fan behavior. We had an incident this past weekend with an extreme incident of really poor fan behavior. And it was kind of amplified by, kind of what was going on with the refereeing and things like that. And if both coaches on either or both sides of the ball are agreeing that there's an issue, then there's an issue. So, Coach Mo, can you elaborate on what happened this weekend? And we're going to kind of dissect the larger problem with basketball in Omaha, where Omaha is an urban center in a rural kind of state.
We'll go from the fan perspective at first. And from the fan perspective, you as a parent or brother, sister, anybody that's coming to watch a youth basketball game. When I mean youth, I'm talking about, and we can speak for high school too. I mean, let's talk. You should. Anybody under 18 that's high school or middle school is, I mean, it's a youth. It's a youth basketball, you know? You should go there with the intentions of just cheering your player on, your friend, whoever's playing, and just giving them encouragement. That in a perfect world, that's what we're looking for. But what we've noticed here in the last, there's some public incidents in the last few months here, a lot recently, where we're getting, where, you know, you're hearing about players being called out of their name. There's some racial things that are going on that are not right. And some of these are in areas right outside of Omaha. One of these incidents happened in Omaha with two high schools, and two of our prominent high schools here, which is very concerning that these comments are coming from not only students, but they're coming from adults towards kids. And so our weekend, we have an eighth grade team, very good players. All those players are going to end up playing high school. A lot of them might even play beyond high school just because of their talent level and their commitment to training, commitment to playing basketball. They're just going to be, that's who they are. Now, on top of that, that team is a very disciplined team. And I'm not talking about they don't foul, they don't do those kind of things. They're disciplined because when things are going wrong, we'll get back to the refs and all that stuff, they're not the kids that are kicking chairs, slamming their feet, walking off, kicking a table over, causing a scene. They accept it and they keep playing. They try to do what they can control. Like, you make your free throws, get a rebound, play defense. They try their best to do what they can control. Long story short, we had a referee that kind of let the game get out of hand, where the foul count was very lopsided, and not the fact that, I mean, things are going to be missed in games. Let me clarify this. We're not going at all refs. There is some great refs. There's some great that control stuff. A lot of great refs. But this particular situation, the foul count was very lopsided. I think it was at halftime, no exaggeration, I think we got one foul in our favor, and they got 12. We're a team that goes to the rim. We're a team that we post. We have teams that we do a little bit of everything, and our kids were just hitting the ground. So one of our parents got concerned about it, asked the ref during the little timeout why the foul wasn't going to be called, just like myself and even the opposing coach. And it just escalated where a parent from the opposite team told our parent to shut up. There were some explicit words that were saying, said to our parent. It turned into a threat from that parent from the other team. He also went in at about 3 or 4 other parents that are on our team, including ladies. And there was, you know, there's kids around. The situation got very out of hand to the point where his threats had caused, you know, the police to be called because there's a threat of violence in a youth basketball game, which is, I mean, something that should never happen over a call or the way a game is going. And it got out of hand. To me, in those situations, that should never happen. But we're seeing a pattern of the teams that it's happened to. This is real. These aren't Metro teams that we were playing. These aren't teams that are familiar to the Omaha Metro. These are teams that are kind of outside of the Metro. And if you see one of our teams or a lot of the teams here in Omaha, a lot of the teams are predominantly have minorities on the team. We're pretty diverse, but we still have minority players on our team. And you hear the comments the last couple weeks, even the season, of words like thug team, teams from the hood, watch out, they're gonna, you know, hurt you because they're from the hood and things like that. Not knowing who these kids are, and we talk about it. We have kids that have parents that are dentists and lawyers on our team, but you shouldn't have to even go there, you know, with those things. But this particular parent made a situation bad based off of, I don't know if it's assumptions of who we were, what our parents were, but our parents did a great job not to engage into a physical altercation. They did a good job of walking away from the situation and keeping their head when this parent didn't want to. And it was bad. And I felt bad for the players and the kids from both teams because they all were, from the other team, they were embarrassed. The kids kept coming over to our kids and coming to me as a coach and said, "We're sorry for this." And myself, trying to protect the kids, trying to protect what's going on in the game, I just told the ref, "You're letting it get out of hand. We have parents that are having an issue right now." And I was kicked out of the game. I've never cursed at a ref. I've never disrespected them. I've never threatened the ref. And in a situation that got where a police is called and things like that too, the problem is bigger than me asking a question about a foul, you know, and it got bigger than that. It's concerning that these things are happening in 2021. We know they happen, but it's concerning how bold it's getting. And it's a hard conversation to have with a middle school team, an elementary player, a high school player. These are still youth and these are still kids.
Right. And here's what I'm going to say. And the roles are kind of reversed. Coach is going to laugh at this. I'm normally the super diplomatic one. Coach is being really diplomatic about what we saw and what happened this weekend. When we talk about physical violence, we had a parent who threatened to shoot one of our parents.
Yep.
Over a youth basketball game.
Yep.
We had a ref that we've known literally since for years. We've gone to school with him. I don't know what that entire incident was about. And I don't know. We haven't had a chance to debrief with him or anything like that. But this is something that we will be revisiting in the future. The reality of the situation is Omaha's a very segregated city. And a lot of our teams, a lot of our kids are exposed to people that aren't used to people from other races coming around. And so our kids get exposed to a lot of really racist stuff when traveling to play other teams or when other teams come to travel to us. I don't know what it is. People are acting brand new. I don't know if it's, you know, a political consequence or whatever. I'm not getting into that. There are other shows that I record where I get a little bit more political. But I will reserve thought on that or opinion on that one. What I will say is this. We both grew up in the era where you couldn't, you know, it wasn't social media where you can't in the social media area in social media era. People can get online and type very disrespectful, derogatory things and never really have any real consequences come to them. And what we're seeing is that drift out into a real life where people think you can come in and say whatever you want to whoever you want to at any time you want to and never face any kind of consequence in real life. I'm going to tell you this. It's racial slurs. When you're calling somebody's kid a racial slur, you can expect logic to go out the window. You can't expect to call somebody's kid racial slurs and hit them with racist stereotypes and tropes and call them they're the thug team. Why are they the thug team? Because they're little black kids on the thug team. Does that make them a thug team? Because we've seen little thuggish teams come from all over the state. You know, where kids are acting like goons coming from all over the state. That's not exclusive to this city. That's not exclusive to teams that have a mix of kids. That's all over. And so we come from an era where you can't, you know, there are real consequences for the way that you act and the way you interact with other people. And coming to a basketball game, thinking that you're going to sit up in the stands and call kids racial slurs, call their parents racial slurs and think that I'm big and bad enough that I, you know, threaten them talking about, well, I got my gun in the truck and all the other stuff. You escalated it to a point where it may be outside of your control. And that's where we're going to put that. You know, I understand and appreciate, you know, people's Second Amendment rights, but understand that that's not exclusive to one area of the city. And it should never, ever, ever get to that point behind a youth basketball game. Ever. And so for the parent that did that, you know, the idea that you could escalate to that point and then threaten to shoot somebody over a youth basketball game, that seems like a you problem.
And the silly thing is that person didn't own up to it immediately. And it was an obvious thing where everybody, there was cameras, there's recording down where the building playing at. And as I was a one-sided thing. And then when, you know, the police came, it was, oh, it wasn't me, that was everybody else. And it's like, but you had that same energy during the game when you wanted to go at people, keep the same energy when you need your behaviors correct and put in check.
And, you know, integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. And the fact that, you know, you felt empowered enough to threaten to shoot somebody behind a youth basketball game, but didn't want to maintain that same energy when you could be held accountable for threatening somebody, speaks volumes to your character. I'm not afraid to say it. And so you need to, if that's how you react to a youth basketball game, if you're that invested in a youth basketball game, your kid's going to have a very interesting basketball career. Because if that's how you react to disappointment or people, you know, on the other side playing and competing against your kid or challenging you, you'll be the parent that ends up derailing your kid's basketball career. Because I guarantee you, if it was, you know, if one of our parents is running around threatening to shoot people, we're having a long, hard conversation about if they can even be at the game, if they can even attend, you know. And if it continues, we're having a conversation about if the team is even right for your kid. So that's where we're going with it. Now, from the Omaha Metro standpoint, we'll break it out. We had an incident where two of our major high schools played each other. They're both contenders for the state title. And they decided that in the Metro that, well, we're just going to let those slurs fly. And here's the wild part. The other team has black kids on the team too. And so when the fans were up there with these mocking slurs, I can promise you that their team is looking at them sideways too. And so We've seen this poor fan behavior, and it's been in the media. I mean, it's been in the news locally, but it's not just a local thing. We've seen it on the news. We've seen people getting kicked out of NBA games for talking crazy to players. Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be straight up with you. That's called safety. That's called feeling safe to talk to somebody crazy.
Yep.
In real life, if you saw Mr. 6'8", 280 pounds walking down the street, and you are Mr. I have an office job, I'm 5'7", and I haven't worked out since high school, you wouldn't feel like you could have the ability to call that man all kinds of slurs out of his name. But because you're sitting up in the stands, you feel like you have that power to do that. Understand this. Parents have a right to defend their children. People have a right. Nobody has to sit there and take your abuse. I don't care how much you paid for those seats. I don't care how much you paid to the organization. I don't care if you're best friends with the person that is running the tournament. Nobody has to sit there and take your abuse. And a lot of people don't seem to embody that lesson. And it's unfortunate for the kids that have to see this, because your kids are going to end up modeling your behavior sooner or later. And because you went out in public and became a poor role model for conducting yourself, you are setting that example that your kids are going to eventually follow. We're saying this, Coach Mo, our official stance is, our official statement from Coach Mo Athletics on what transpired this weekend is, you need to do better.
Yep.
You need to do better for your kids, and you should be ashamed of how you conducted yourself. Absolutely repulsive that you would threaten to shoot somebody behind a youth basketball game.
Period. That's, I mean, hands down, that's it. There's no other better way to put it.
You know, and we've seen in other cities violence directed towards coaches because some parent got in their feelings behind a football game or a basketball game. And we've seen the dire consequences of that. We've seen coaches acting emotionally and irresponsibly with regard to attacking players and fighting people on the sidelines. This is not the place for that. You know, we're trying to teach these young men and young ladies how to be better citizens, how to be better teammates. And you're sitting up in the stands or standing on the sidelines, conducting yourself like a fool. That is not OK. And we're firing a shot across the bow because I think we need to tame it down across the board in terms of even coaching, you know, tamping it down where we understand. I love fiery coaches, but we've seen coaches that have gone above and beyond fiery to the point where it turns abusive. It's not that important, y'all.
Right.
It's not that important. Think of the kind of trauma that you're causing kids, you know, when you act like that. What are you in the game for? Are you in the game to make these kids better? Are you in the game to get them to the next level? Are you in the game to teach them how to compete and how to grow through sports and competition? Or are you just trying to win? Because if you're in the game just to win, you know, and that's fine, I guess. You know, we got coaches that just want to win, but you got to understand what depths are you willing to go to? And what are you showing the kids?
Right.
What are you showing your kids? Even if they don't play for you, what are you showing your kids? How are you modeling your behavior? So we're talking about accountability. But the larger thing is, and I think that there needs to be a robust conversation about this with the Nebraska State Athletic Association in terms of getting this fan behavior under control. Because these kids don't deserve to go out and be called slurs and have all these negative attributes based on the color of their skin. That is not okay. And, you know, these kids don't deserve that. And, you know, I know in high school specifically, the student section is the rowdiest part of the high school. Get some controls over that. this is on state officials, this is on school administration officials, all the other stuff. You guys set the tone for what's acceptable and what's not. And I know specifically with the high school incident we're talking about, we saw this mask. Everybody's running to, well, I didn't see that or I didn't experience that. And we've done a thorough investigation and blah, blah, blah. Bullshit.
Right.
You know, it's protecting. You're trying to protect students from real life consequences instead of addressing the ugly, ugly, ugly side of what happened in the student section.
Yep.
You let it get out of control. And there's no accountability for that. And what kind of adults are you, what kind of people are you raising where they feel like they can escape consequence for poor behavior in public, in insulting somebody? So that's what I got. And I'm sorry you guys had to listen to my mini rant on that, but I got to be honest with you. Here's where we're going with this. And we're going to talk about the potential negative consequences of this because we've talked about it on other episodes. Omaha's basketball profile is raising across the country. People are paying attention to what we do in the Omaha Metro because we have players that they want. If we do not get this under control, we're going to hurt our ability to get people to consider our basketball programs around here seriously.
Yes, yes.
So that's what we're going to talk about on the next segment. Get you guys in a second. We're taking a pause for the cause. All right, so we're back. In discussing the state of basketball and the profile of basketball, we do need to discuss some issues that we've been seeing with refereeing. And it's not just ref missed a call or, we're seeing refs trying to square off with coaches. We're seeing refs running time off the clock at inappropriate times. We've seen refs that give every single appearance that it's almost like they're trying to they're not letting the kids win the game. They're trying to decide the outcome of the game. And it's a mystery to us why a referee would be so invested in one team winning a game over another team. But I digress. We've seen I don't know how to describe it outside of piss poor officiating. And it's not across the board. It's not uniform. But what we're saying is this. There should not be such a drastic difference between, between different refs. You know, there should be some kind of uniform standard on how the game is going to be officiated. You know, where they keep it general, let the kids decide who wins and who loses. But that's not the case. We shouldn't be able to walk in to a tournament and say, oh, shit, there's that ref. every time we play under this specific ref, the calls are weird. We never get, mysteriously the clocks run in or, the clocks run in at times it's not supposed to, all kinds of other stuff. So, Coach Mo, what are some examples, extreme examples of ref behavior that we've encountered this season and past seasons?
I'll take a book out of page out of Brian's book of people hurting their feels. People getting their feels. And this is straight. I was trying to, think about what to say on this episode and trying to be nice. And like what Brian talked about too, but it's ridiculous, for people that's, I've been coaching 21 years. And in business, this is going on 7 for us in business. And man, and I really tell you, man, I straight up do it for the kids. When I'm coaching, I have a raspy voice. My voice carries. I've been hearing that BS since I was in 7th grade where teachers would write me up. I wasn't cussing at them, wasn't doing anything, but my voice just carried to the point where my mom was an educator for over 35 years. And she'd get the phone call and she'd say, did you write him up because his voice carried? Did he do anything? Well, no. I just heard his voice. And to me, and that's the thing that it kind of hurt us being a kid, where you're like, I'm just talking. I'm just passionate about that. And that goes back to Brian's talking about, I'm a passionate coach. I'm out there when I want them to win. I want them to be excited. I want players to show some emotion. And what I don't understand is that we have kids from different backgrounds and those things, but I have certain kids on my team that get called for a lot. I got certain kind of kids that cannot be emotional, and those kids are my minority kids, and I'm not gonna pull punches about it. We have some of the most talented kids in this city on our teams, and their performance is held back because of things like that. We had a game where we came back. We're like the comeback kids. We would come back. They called a Carolina team in the early 90s, Cardiac Kids, the one that the team that beat Michigan. And I don't know why we have these slow starts in time, but our kids, we've came down by 22, we came down by 25, we've came back, tied up games ready. And all of a sudden, we had a ref a couple weeks ago just run the time off because he said the people at the table weren't doing it right. Now, these are volunteer parents who are trying their best, who paid money, by the way, to be at these tournaments, doing their best. The guy ran off 27 seconds. The guy didn't miss 27 seconds in the last thing. And we didn't get a chance to win the game. And I tried to explain, and I met by, shut up. Go sit down. I'll kick you out for asking questions. Right in front of the kids. I'm not yelling at this person. I'm not cussing this person. I'm not threatening this person. I'm trying to figure out and how to explain to 13 and 12-year-olds why they didn't get a chance to win a game that they fought so hard to get into, and a clock was just ran out. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. For the other perspective is the referees are supposed to control the game. If you don't like what I say, then tell me that. You don't have to threaten. You don't have to tell me to shut up. You don't have to be quiet. You don't have to threaten my parents. I've seen that where I've had refs engage my parents in the crowd because their son has hit the floor four times in a row of getting clotheslined out of the air. These things are on tape. We have these recorded, kids getting hit and knocked out the air, and they're telling our parents to shut up. And, right. You know, these are adults you're talking to who's paid money. These tournaments aren't free. And I think these referees and tournament directors, you guys are great. You're doing your best. It's not you guys. You can't be at every game. You can't be at every game. But just as you're going forward and you're teaching these people to be here, they can't tell a grown person to shut up. They can't tell a grown person if it's that bad, then kick them out. But you need to explain to the kids and the parent why. If their kid is hitting the ground, those parents have to. We have two kids that got concussions this year. And I got reamed for it. I got reamed for it. I had other refs and people were mad because they're like, you need to let the refs call the game. Well, I have two kids laying on the ground with a concussion because it's a constant foul, And then we look at the score sheet every single week. And this is just not our team. There's a lot of coaches who will back me on this, and I'm going to tag these guys so they hear the podcast, where we've went into halftime, and we've only gotten two fouls, you know, and the other team has a ton, and the foul count is over. They're at the line. We've lost games by 2 and 3 points. Yes, we understand you got to rebound. You got to make layups. We understand we can win these games. It makes it a lot harder when a team's giving 14 more free throw attempts than our team. You know, it's very blatant. It's obvious what's going on. I, as a coach, have a right to ask why the foul counts are there without being told to shut up. I do not have to sit down and be quiet if I'm not threatening or if I'm asking a question. And my players do not have to have a ref tell them, stop complaining, play through it. That probably right there, Brian, is one of my biggest things that makes me mad. Why do our kids, and it is certain kids, uh-huh, have to play through things? We have a kid on our team that's 6'2", 6'3", 270. Big boy, he comes to do, he does what he's supposed to do. He sets the right picks. He's getting rebound. They literally hang on him. Every team we play, hang on him. He gets foul calls for trying to get them off of his back, trying to get them off his arm. And he's asking questions and he's been told to shut up. He's been told to play through it, big man. You'll be okay, big man. You're fine. You'll be okay. That is not good reffing. That is unacceptable that kid, he can't control what his size is. Stop him then the right way. Play defense the right way.
Well, and the thing is, and when we're in practice and everything, we're trying to condition him to never get calls because that's what happens. And it's not fair that we have to do that, where we have to basically force him to play through things that are egregious foul calls, because we know that that's what they're going to do. But I want to go back to the ref telling people to shut up. I think Cedric the Entertainer put it best, where he said, I'm a grown ass man. No. If you wouldn't walk outside and find a stranger talking and tell them to shut up, I would suggest that you not do it in that environment. You're telling parents to shut up. You have no control over them. You're telling coaches to shut up. You have no control over them. If it's really becoming an issue, then you have the ability to kick them out of the game. But telling people to shut up, you know, here's the thing. You give somebody a little bit of power and you get a chance to see who they really are when they feel like they have a little bit of control. And some people have just enough power to do damage. And a lot of cases that's what we're finding, where you have the ability and power to do X, Y, and Z on this court. And instead of wielding the power and controlling things, it ends up becoming this weird ego trip where you got to protect your ego because somebody asked you a question, a player, coach, or parent asked you a question. And so now, because your feelings are invested in this, how dare they ask me questions, as opposed to, okay, they're asking me a question, how do I adjust this? How do I address this the right way?
And I'm piggybacking off of it. And obviously you feel comfortable doing it. I don't know. In my career, I don't know how many times I've had a ref tell me he'd meet me outside. He'd want to fight afterwards. He'd do, you know, he wouldn't do. I'm like, completely losing control of the situation. And not one kid I ever coached for will tell you that I said anything to incite a violence towards somebody. I'm asking about a foul count or foul. If my voice carries, there you go, my carries, if I intimidate you because I'm a, you know, the black coach, I'm 260, I lift weights, I'm a big guy, I'm a former athlete. If that intimidates you, don't ref. Right. Don't ref. That's not, I mean, we're not pulling punches. Don't ref. Don't be there. Don't do that stuff there. Because the people that know, my white kids, Hispanic, mixed, whatever you are, well, no, when they do a coach mail, I'm doing it the right way. I'm here to let everybody meet and exceed their goals in basketball and speed and agility. I'm easy to talk to. I'm easy there. I don't threaten kids. I'm not the one that you're talking about on YouTube grabbing a kid by his jersey, swinging him down, punching. Some parents will still let a kid play for a guy like that. You know, like that too. That's not what we do. We're trying to make these kids get the best. And so I don't feel like I have to be threatened. If you want to shut me up, then call the game the right way. Again, we're not asking to give us every single call. Yes, we foul. We're human. But I'm asking that I got players limping around after each game because they were thrown out of the air and we told to play through it. We got to stop saying play through it to our certain teams. We got to stop saying that. Play through is going to get somebody hurt.
Right.
You can play through certain things, but no one should be pulling you out of the air to do a layup. No one should be clipping you or cutting in front of you, your path to the basket, going and headbutting you in the face. That's arch rivals. That's a game we played back in the days. That's video game unrealistic stuff. And we cannot say that, you know, that's okay. Now, one thing we look at, I'm trying to prepare the kids for high school. I'm trying to get a beer for the next level. The fact that I have to waste time in practices and waste time in camps and things like that to explain to the kids, like, I hope this weekend will be treated fair.
Right.
Is ridiculous. I mean, this was my conversation last night with, I mean, I got multi-sport kids. I got kids. People know the kids that we have on our team have came through us or trained that I'm going to their high school games. I'm coming, and they're coming out and thinking like, hey, man, I hope you treat it fair this week. You know, I'm talking to my high schoolers because things is going on in high school now. I hope the refs treat you right.
Right.
And like, this isn't a bash ref thing. It's bash the bad refs. This is what I'm talking about. It's bash the bad refs. And that's there just for a check. Guess what? We all want to get money. We all want to get paid somehow. But we got to do it the right way. You cannot let people get hurt just because you're trying to get out of there real quick. Can't let you hurt because you want some kind of sense of control. Your goal as the ref is to keep the kids safe, call what you see, and not engage with everything going on outside of the game. You need to keep your eyes on the floor unless it becomes a threat. Unless a parent is coming down on the floor and grabbing you or saying he's going to do something. But if the parent is saying, hey, that's a bad call, why are you engaging? One thing I appreciate about some of the veteran refs I know and the guys that are on my page is they don't engage like that. They just laugh at the crowd because they're there to get they're worried about the kids and the right doing the right thing. It's the ones that 5 minutes into the game turn around and stop looking at what's going on in the game and start engaging with the parents. Well, then the kids have no idea what's going on because they're like, do we keep playing? What's going on? And I've had refs just basically swallow the whistle because they're mad at one of my parents. And this is a constant. You know, I've seen it in high school. I've seen it in college where they're mad at somebody talking. I was like, that's not good. And I feel like we're holding back. I have some athletes, I mean, people know, that are held back in games where they could probably get 30 points, 15 rebounds, probably get 5 steals or like that. But they don't like the way I asked them about the last 2 calls. They won't answer it, but they're upset about it. They're upset about the fact, how dare I ask you about something? I'm not saying that you're wrong or right. Just tell me what was wrong with that call. If you answer it, things get done. And it's very lopsided a lot of times. We're losing to teams, and this is just not my team. This is several teams because they're given quadruple the number of free throws. You know what I'm saying? Because you stop calling for us. And the fact that, like Ryan said, we walk in and we know there are certain refs, we know, like, great, nothing's going to be called. You know, it's a big problem.
Well, and here's the thing. Sometimes the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to you is to get exactly what you're asking for. And so when you're sitting around telling people, meet me outside, we can meet outside, that person might meet you outside. And now you have a situation that's out of your control. So the ideal thing is keep it under control when you have the power to. If a parent is getting inappropriate, you remove them from a game. If a coach is being abusive, warning, and then you remove them from the game. Don't do it because the coach is asking, hey, what's going on with this? Or why are my players constantly getting hit and no calls are going up, but we can't even breathe on the other kids without getting a call? That is, we're discussing the quality of officiating and the consistency with it. If you're not being consistent with it, there's really nothing else to be said. But if you're sitting there talking about, and we've had refs threaten, you know, asking us to step outside, the worst thing that could possibly happen in some cases is we take you up on the offer.
Right. And I'm telling you, I've been on the AAU circuit as a coach, and you talk to one of those coaches in one of these other cities like that, I've seen them say, okay. You know, I said, okay. I'm like, I just haven't had to go to that point, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm not frustrated. That doesn't not mean that I put in a lot of work for this to help kids. This is my passion. And it is, you know, Brian, is yours as well to deliver a good service for these kids. They don't know what we have at Academy.
Right.
We're a family at Academy. So when I saw what happened this weekend and, you know, parents threatened to do this, right. Our family came together. Our family came together and they protected the kids. And shout out to our parents who were like, they kept it kid focused. I'm like, hey, out of hand. Obviously, nothing's going on with the ref. He's too busy arguing with me about a foul call to not notice there's a possible riot going on in the stands. but they protected the kids. We're family.
Right.
When you come on Sundays, we're family. We might get a little heated game and things like that too. At the end, everybody's dapping each other up and they say, hey, man, I'll see you Monday. Monday, we're a family. Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So whatever program we have, we're a family. I don't care if you're from Plattsmouth. I don't care if you're from Omaha. I don't care if you drive in from Des Moines. If you're coming to train, we're here to train. If you're coming to play basketball, we're here to play basketball. And you have to respect what we're doing at those times. So we appreciate the support. We appreciate the family environment that we have. When we come to these tournaments, this is the hard work we're putting into. And it's disheartening to hear the kids when we ride home, like, here's another tournament we lost by 1 or 2 points because somebody ran the clock off because they were mad and they wanted to go home. You know, here's another tournament we lost because they didn't like the way our kids celebrated. I've heard that so many times. Like, why can't the kid clap as long as he's not doing it in his face? He's not doing the Allen Iverson step over. He's not dunking on him and tossing the ball into his chest. But we have good character kids. And the crazy thing is, most of our kids are on the honor roll. Most of our kids are doing stuff outside of basketball. They're great kids. They're doing stuff for their parents, their grandparents. You don't know. I'm serious about this. You don't know what's going on in those kids' lives. Right now, or the coaches, for instance. I always say what's up to the coaches. I always say, how's it going? Hey, thanks for coming and playing us. I appreciate it. No matter what happens, what's going on here. Look, particularly my mother right now, and this is personal, is dealing with cancer. She's had surgery, and it was rough. And so we're dealing with some stuff with her there. I don't take that into the games as a negative thing and start going off on you as a ref or as a player or as another coach. But I'm going through it. I internalize it. And so I just want to kind of get away and do what I do and just help the kids and those things there. Only is that there's a lot of kids that are going through that. Their mom might be sick. Their dad might be working out of town. You don't know what a 10-year-old or 11-year-old is going through, and you're yelling at them to stop just being themselves. You're yelling at them because they celebrate it instead of explaining why you're doing it, you know? You don't have to tell a kid to shut up. Tell the kid, hey, ease up a little bit. Good play. Hey, make sure you just get back with your team and high five. Cool. I think they'd understand that. You don't have to go there with that. People are people. Kids have feelings. Coaches have feelings. Refs have feelings. Directors, parents have feelings. When we get out of that realm of keeping it under control is when things get out of hand. And there's things that can be helped to stop that before we get to that level. And it's to the point where it's just not fair. And it's to the point where we shouldn't be dealing with this. If you can't control your mouth, if you feel like I'm going to go to a game and I get so fired up that I'm going to just start throwing racist comments out or threatening comments, I put it in one of my posts. Stay at home. Take a nap. Go do some sensitivity training. Don't bring it to your kid's game, because guess what? Your kid is now attached to your comments and your kid is attached to your actions. If my actions get me kicked out of the game because I'm defending the kids and making sure it's right, if I'm not cussing or threatening those kind of things there, fine. I will gladly leave the game. I will gladly leave the game because obviously there's a bigger issue and a bigger problem. But if you think as a ref, you think as a parent, that a person is threatening people with violence should have been the first one kicked out of a game, you know, or even have the police called. We are in a different world right now, and that is bad. Because again, I had to explain all this in practice to my kids because they're like, I don't even know why we're going through this. And that's frustrating. And they're like, we want to win tournaments, but every week, coach, they're doing something wrong to you. Every week, coach, they did something wrong to another coach that you know over there. Why are they kicking that coach out? Why did they say that? He didn't say anything. I'm like, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
And I think what we're getting into is we're getting into this, and this is where we're going with it. Basketball's turning into a pretty lucrative industry in Omaha. And you got a lot of teams playing. You have a lot of, there's more demand for refs. There's more demand for places to play. There's more demand for tournament spots and stuff like that. And it, always when you have that much rush on demand, the first thing to go is the quality and the oversight. And I think that's where I'm going. That's where I want to steer this into, because I think, you know, things get too big and you see this degradation in quality and oversight, and everybody suffers for it. And this is not a good time for this to happen, because, like I said earlier, Omaha is becoming known for basketball around the country. We're trying to establish our spot. If we successfully do this, we're going to start seeing more traveling circuits, the national traveling circuits, start picking here to host their tournaments and have people travel here to play. But if we don't get a control over this on the local front, it's going to undermine us establishing ourselves on the national front, if that makes sense to y'all. It's frustrating because there's so many teams and so many parents and so many roster spots and stuff like that, that you're always going to get somebody who slides in the back door, who isn't really there for the best interest of games or there for the kids or anything. They're there to collect a paycheck. And when you have that kind of, you know, I'm just here to collect a check, I don't care what happens, it can go one or two ways. Either I'm just here to collect a paycheck, what these parents and coaches say don't really matter to me. I'm here to just call the game and do my job. That's great. That's what we want. We applaud you for that.
Right.
If you're there just, I'm just here to collect a paycheck, and because I'm here to collect a paycheck, I'm going to sit here and fight with every coach and every parent and insult players and all the other stuff, then you are doing more harm than good. And you need to go find somewhere else. You need to go find somewhere else to pick up some extra dollars, because doing it in one of these tournament formats where coaches, parents, teams are paying hundreds of dollars for an experience, for a competitive basketball experience that everybody can grow from, you know, you are damaging that. We're paying for this. We're paying for our kids to have the experience of playing ball against other competitive teams in a format that's fair to them. And
if you like it, I love it. If you like your job, smile a little bit. I mean, these guys are coming in with these frowns on their faces. They're upset. We know which ref is going to be like, man, he's already mad. They're yelling at people. They're yelling at people that are dribbling a ball on the side. Like, man, you're coming in with a combative, you know, mindset before we start. These are kids.
And the last, we'll say this out here. Understand the rules of the tournament that you're playing. Last was about 2 years ago when we had our girls team. We go in, it's like a fourth or fifth grade girls team.
Yeah.
And the ref is calling stuff like, you know, things that were kind of established that don't really get called for little kids. You know, 3 seconds. What?
And they would explain it. We're like, they're in third grade.
Even the other ref is like, hey, man, we don't call that at the, you know, kind of tournament level rules. We're not calling that kind of stuff at this level, you know. And he was really enforcing it. And it damaged the quality of the game. It damaged the experience for the girls because, you know, they ain't ready for that. They weren't ready for all of that to be officiated like it's an NCAA game. And so, you know, getting on the same page with the refs is important. But I digress again. I think that if we do not get control over the local basketball scene, we're going to embarrass ourselves in a national instance. When we have one of these big time tournaments that travels all over the country and generates millions of dollars, they'll come here and they'll have assholes in the parent assholes up in the stands hitting these teams from these more diverse cities with all kinds of ethnic and racial slurs and stuff like that. It'll be wholly embarrassing and they'll never come back here again. And that costs everybody an opportunity.
Definitely.
So, you know, I guess I'm a fan, right? I'm a fan. I have my sports teams that I enjoy. I don't understand hecklers. I've never understood hecklers who sit up in the stands and go, I don't understand that concept. I understand cheering for your team, you know, cheering when your team does something good, but sitting up in the stands and heckling somebody just to screw with somebody is such a weird, it's a weird energy. You know, it's like the jerk that goes to the comedy show just to screw with the comedian on the stage. It's such a weird look at me, needy kind of energy that is really off-putting. And a lot of people can't really deal with somebody else being in the spotlight. And now I'm talking about they can't deal with other players. They can't deal with other teams being in the spotlight. Some refs feel like they have to be the center of attention on the game. And they have to make their presence known in a way that's detrimental to everybody on the court. Some coaches can't deal with sharing the spotlight with their team or sharing the spotlight with the team that's beating their team. And so some parents, they can't deal with not being the central focus of everybody else. And so they act in a way that makes them the center of attention. It is, and it's the same energy as the heckler who pays, you know, hundreds of dollars for a ticket to go to a football game or a hockey game or a baseball game or a comedy show or a concert and go, so people look at them. And it's such a weird kind of damaged energy. And if that's you and that's what you do, you're a weirdo. Sorry. You just, yeah. You're a weird person. If you go to games or athletic events or concerts or whatever, just to sit there and heckle people. Or if you take a job as a ref, a part-time job as a ref for games, and you want the attention to be on you and you feel like you have to enforce it so that people are looking at you. That is a weird energy. Hopefully you get that checked out. Get that fixed.
Yeah, it's weird. And one thing I'll say, this is coming from me. If you come and participate in any of our camps, any of our service, any of those things there, you're going to be treated fair. We're there. We're just here to train. We're here to train. We're here to get you better at basketball. Here to get you back faster and jump higher. And we won't put up with that there. So you're going to be in a safe environment every time you're with us. And I appreciate our support. I appreciate the parents and kids that have stuck by and know that we're doing it for the right reason. And our results are there. Right, our results are there. Like, right. These kids that have to endure this, they come out stronger than the end. And man, that when you get a text from a kid that got his first offer, a kid from a kid that gets to go to an elite camp, a text from a kid that signed for a D1 college, a D2, a D3, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, we fought these battles so they can get through this. And man, they came out tougher on the other side, you know? So we don't love the experience, but we welcome the experience if it's going to make them better. It's going to make them better. Those things there. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate anybody that is listening to this podcast. We want you to share these podcasts and those kind of things, not just because we do want a whole bunch of followers, but we want to know that we have topics on here every week that I want to make you either uncomfortable, make you think, or just kind of like, you're right about that. Let it be practices. Let it be, we talk about these really serious subjects. Let it be something funny. We want to make sure that you guys know what's going on. We want to let you know what kind of services that we have there. We're doing it for the right reason. There's a lot of people that coach. Thank you for the people that take their time out to coach. Shout out to the coaches that I know personally that are coaching you to have to deal with things that we have to deal with. There's a lot of people that train. Shout out to the people that are training and doing it the right way. Shout out to the refs who are doing it the right way. Shout out to the tournament directors that actually, shout out to that tournament director we're talking about this weekend. Did the right thing immediately. Ban that person. Ban that team because the team didn't want to give up that person's name, you know? And it obviously was on tape. Shout out to that. That's a big step. And like Brian said, and letting our city know that there's things going on, but that's a huge step. They're like, hey, let's clean this up. Even if it's a little bit of cleanup, let's get it. And we will never allow that in any of our camps or those kind of things. That we're not those guys who are going to come watch our kids during a high school game. Like I said, being the weird person yelling in the crowd, you know, kicking things over and mad at another parent because his kid plays for the opposite team. We're just sitting up there enjoying a basketball game.
Well, and then, you know, backtrack with the tournament director, that is a quality control. That's taking control of the quality of the product that people are paying for. And so we appreciate the effort that he put into that to make sure that everybody had a high quality basketball experience. So, and that's what we're talking about, delivering that kind of experience and being a high quality person. And high quality people don't sit around and wait to go out to major public events and go and get all the attention on themselves. That's not what they do. They go there, enjoy it, cheer on their team, encourage their kid to play better, and really focus on the experience of the game as opposed to making it about themselves, because it's really not. At the end of the day, it's about the kids getting better, and that's what we're focusing on. So, you know, Coach Mo, anything else before we sign off here?
No, you know, and we just want to make these aware. I've never been a person, and me and Brian have been friends more than half of our lives, you know that too, but we both have never been people that let things just, you want to leave a legacy. And your legacy, for us as being parents, I'm a parent of three, Brian's a parent of two, you want to leave a legacy for your kids. And the legacy can't be that my dad or mom back down from everything. They let things get to them. They just let stuff go. Because the more you let stuff go, the more you let stuff just sit, it doesn't suit well for your kids. It doesn't suit well for the next generation. It doesn't suit well for anybody. So we want to make sure we put in there. We have no ill will towards any of these refs. This is just, generalize that we hope they check this. So we hope this wakes you up a little bit. We have no ill will towards this. I don't want, you know, you're going to look really silly if you're one of the refs that get on our podcast page and start making threats or making excuses for having, just say okay. Or just adjust your behavior. I want you to think about what you're doing. Just like if somebody, I've learned as a coach when I was young, you know, not to do certain things and not to, you know, go over and do things. You have to learn. We've done that. And the older you get, the more experience, you have to adjust a couple of things. But not at any time do you allow things that are not right. And we're not going to allow things that are not right, because I'm trying to leave a legacy for Coach Mo Athletics that when I'm gone from here or when I'm passing it to one of my kids or do that, they understand that what was not right in that situation is still not going to be right 10 years from now. In 20 years from now, that's not right what happened this weekend. That's not right what's going on in this metro. I want Omaha to be it, stay on the mat for basketball.
Right.
I have an upcoming high school player that is ready to go. I want colleges to come see him play. I want colleges to be like, I am comfortable coming to Omaha, Nebraska, because I'm going to sit at a game and I'm not going to hear racial slurs. I'm not going to hear threatening things like that, too. I'm just here to see if this kid can fit our program. And I want that for thousands of kids across Metro. What a great story if we can get all these kids recruited. What a great story if we get eyes on all these kids. What a great story would that be? But we have to clean up and do it the right way.
Right. And we got to make sure that we're delivering that experience for those kids to grow and create environments that allow them to get better, as opposed to centering us and our needs and our desires to be in charge or empower or to have people looking at us. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for going, you know, listening to us get that out. It was an important episode that we just had to put out there, you know, and hopefully we could start seeing some improvements for everybody. You know, we really focus on improving the experience for everybody. So that's what we got. You know, we still have our basketball development programs. Take your opportunity now to start preparing yourself. Like I said, the off season is what determines what you do. It determines how far you go. What you do in the off season determines what your season's going to look like next year. And so take the opportunity is what we're saying. So that's what we have. We'll talk to you guys later. Coach Mo, Brian.
Peace.